At this point, we have to ask, could it be that these prophetic words are true and that God is raising up Donald Trump to be the next president?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being part of the broadcast today. It is March 16th, and today I turn 61 years old. In fact, I did an intensive workout that my trainer gave me to do and posted the workout on YouTube, not my actual workout, but posted what I did and gave you a time challenge. It is the fruit not just of exercise, but primarily of healthy eating. So I wanted to encourage you. And thank you for the countless kind birthday wishes on Facebook and Twitter and elsewhere. I'm truly blessed. What a privilege to be alive serving God in this hour. A big day for Donald Trump yesterday. Boy, if Marco Rubio had gotten out a day earlier, then votes from all the polling we understand would have gone the way of Ted Cruz. Things would have looked very different, but that's not what happened. So I've got a gentleman, a broadcast minister, who compares news analysts analysis with biblical prophecy, Lou Cominelli. He's going to join me in a moment, and we're going to talk about Donald Trump. He has a different perspective than I do, but I want you to hear that point of view. Before we go any further, got a dear friend on the line, Scott Volk, who has sometimes hosted our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast in my absence, and Scott and I have been buddies for 23 years now, man. Amazing, huh?
That is amazing. I was hoping that I could be the first caller in today just to simply wish you a happy birthday, man. You're 61 years old.
Right, and you're 51. We got that 10-year gap between us.
There's a 10-year gap, and I think I've known you for one-third of your life. But I had a great idea today, and I hope you'll agree with me. I'm doing this on my own volition, but wherever I travel, and I'm traveling more and more, I get people coming up to me saying they listen to Dr. Brown on the radio all the time. Some of them actually have even listened to me on your show. And I thought that one great way of really blessing you on your birthday is for me just to make a challenge to all of the Line of Fire listeners out there. And I just know that you're you're a man of faith. You don't do things for your own self. Follow the Lord, and you're one of the most remarkable men that I know, and I'm so privileged that you've spoken into my life all these years. I think it would be wonderful if all of us listeners to the Line of Fire got behind Dr. Brown, and for his 61st birthday, I just want to throw out a challenge. If we could get 61 people to become torchbearers for Dr. Brown to help hold up his arms naturally, I think it's a fairly simple process. It's $1 a day. I want to be the first person today to commit to doing that, and I want to just put out a challenge to see if we can get 61 people before the end of this to become torchbearers for your 61st birthday. What do you think about that?
That'd be awesome, man. That would be incredible. There's nothing we need more than monthly supporters, and that's only 60 to go. If you're number one, man, I really appreciate that, Scott. And you know, this is not the kind of thing I'm gonna do or initiate on the radio here. So yeah, here's how it works then, friends. $1 a day or more, $30 or more per month, you become an official torchbearer, literally holding our hands up as we hold the flame high. Every month, we send you a brand new audio message. We give you access to our online classes, audio and video. We give you 15% discount in our online bookstore. We also send you a special book as a gift just to equip you and to bless you as you sign up to join with us. And then every broadcast I do, every time I travel overseas, everything we do, we're doing it together. So, Scott, man, that'd be awesome. How about it, friends? How about 60 more torchbearers joining us today? Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Say, hey, I want to join in. It's fertile soil, friend. We're making a difference around the world and among the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Or go to Ask Dr. Brown, AskDrBrown.org. Click donate. Thank you. Thanks, Scott.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There's a scripture in the Bible that says, I sought for a man to make up the hedge and to stand in the gap for my land. Donald Trump is that man. God has raised him up for such a time as this.
All right, that was the voice of Pastor Darrell Scott of New Spirit Revival Center Ministries in Ohio. I'm about to be joined by Lou Comunale, who's a broadcast minister, comparing news analysis with biblical prophecy. I worked in the past, his media career started, working at news archives for NBC, ABC, CBS. So he's got insight into the liberal slant on the news. He looks at things through a biblical viewpoint. And he has a very different view about Donald Trump than I do. So just want to restate things very quickly. And then I want to bring Lou on, not to get into an argument with him, but so he can give his perspective and we can interact. I'll say where I differ and he can explain. But let God be God in terms of God's plans. If you believe that God ultimately sets up kings and removes kings, then you would say that God raised up Barack Obama and God raised up George Bush. And was it for good or for bad? That would be debated. My perspective is that Trump could be terribly dangerous, that his vacillating disqualifies him from being a good leader, that God could make him into anything and God could radically save him. That would be amazing. And I hope all of my concerns are wrong, but I felt those supporting him are putting the wrong things first, or almost looking for a carnal person to come in and do carnal things rather than for a godly person to come in and help our nation, not by being a pastor, but by being a solid, strong leader. And I personally endorse Senator Cruz right now. Donald Trump has a strong lead. Senator Cruz is still in it, but Donald Trump has a strong lead. So people could say, hey, look, whoever would have expected this? Who saw it coming? And yet some people like Lance Wallnau and others have been saying for months that they believe God was raising up Donald Trump. So I want to give you another perspective. You heard my many warnings and you've heard my videos, read my articles. I want to welcome Lou to The Line of Fire. Lou, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I'm glad to be here with you.
Awesome. First, if folks want to find out what you're doing online, where are your videos posted? How can they see those materials?
Okay, it's very simple. It's newstomorrow.com, and the 2 is actually numerals, so it's news2morrow.com. I have my videos there. I have my insights on the news and current events and biblical prophecy there. So it's newstomorrow.com. You'll enjoy also my MindShift videos. The latest trending video out there now that I have is called John Paul Jackson and President Donald Trump.
Got it. And I think that's the one I may have seen when we reached out to you and interacted about coming on. So Lou, give me your perspective of Donald Trump right now, be it a secular, a supernatural perspective, whatever it is. What are your thoughts as a follower of Jesus about Donald Trump?
Okay, that's a very good question. I happen to have two biblical principles that support my support for Donald Trump. And one is from the Old Testament and the other is from the New Testament. Now, you realize that the institutions of government have become so corrupted of late. I just have to say it as a preamble before we get to the scriptures. The three branches of government, both the White House, the Congress, and the Supreme Court are totally corrupted. And they are actively going against the will of the people so that the will of the people have no more say in this nation any longer. So we are being dictated to by the establishment of both parties, and they're both in collusion with one another.
Let me just jump in and ask if you could explain what you mean by totally corrupt.
We have a White House that has been infringing on our constitutional rights bit by bit, and we have a Congress that's been following along with it and not resisting it, because there are three different branches of government. They're supposed to be opposing one another. And we have a Supreme Court that has been allowing corrupt rulings to come down the pike, again, against the will of the majority of the people.
Got it. And by the way, I am anything but a supporter of the political establishment. one of the main reasons I endorsed Senator Cruz was because he talks about the Washington cartel and takes it on. But I just wanted to make sure I understood where you're coming from. All right, go ahead.
Okay, now my scriptural reference from the Old Testament is, now that we have that background, God is telling Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, verse 10, God is instructing Jeremiah on nation building, or in our case, nation rebuilding. And he says this, God says, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. So God's telling Jeremiah he needs to do twice the amount of effort in destroying and dismantling a corrupt institution in the government before he can build any righteous government on top of it. And that's what we see here in America, because our entire system has been so totally corrupted that it's not enough to have a Christian president in the White House, because he's on top of all this corruption. Scripture says that an evil tree cannot produce good fruit. So we need to go beyond just thinking that we need a president. We need to sweep clean this entire corrupted system that is actively waging war against the American people.
All right, let me just jump in with another question, and I'll make sure that you can get to say everything you want to say. All right, so I'll make sure we're able to do that.
Sure.
So I understand. I wrote a commentary in Jeremiah, and those words are thematic in Jeremiah 1:10 and repeat it a number of times in the book. So yeah, it is interesting that you've got four verbs of destruction and then the two verbs of building. So that wrecking ball comes in and it does a lot of damage, destroying, and then you got to uproot the bad foundations and things like that, and then you've got to build and plant. But the question would be, since Donald Trump, in terms of his speaking, in terms of his attitude, in terms of the example he sets, in terms of, for me, what are outright constant lies and switching positions and demeaning of others, that you are now using evil to destroy evil. So how does that work? Don't you have to build with good? Or unless you're saying that Donald Trump just comes in to destroy and someone else has to come in and build.
Well, in one of my articles in News Tomorrow, I say that we as Christians do not think long term. We tend to think that, oh, you just have a Christian president for 4 years and that's going to change the horrendous direction of this nation that the liberals have been pushing for decades. What I suggested in my editorial was that we have a Trump-Cruz ticket. Now, if that were to happen, we'd have 8 years in which Donald Trump can effectively remove the Washington politics and bureaucracy that has been stopping progress from occurring. And then, just like in Jeremiah says, and then you have 8 years of a Ted Cruz who can rise up and build on what's been removed from this government. You know, the scriptures also say that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. And quite often, we don't think logistically, we don't think, we don't have a battle plan on how to win the culture anymore. So I think it's very simplistic to just think that, oh, all we need is a Christian president, and that's going to solve all problems. Even Jimmy Carter was the only bona fide, born-again Christian president we've had in my lifetime, but I hesitate to say he was the worst president we've had up until this present one.
Got it. Yeah, and for me, Lou, I'm not just looking for a Christian president. I would want to have a God-fearing president, but for me, I want to have a strong moral conservative, because they're going to be appointing Supreme Court justices. They're going to be serving as using the presidency as a bully pulpit and things like that. Obviously, we both see the importance of Israel and standing with Israel, etc.
Yes.
So here, let me say where I absolutely agree with you. I agree with you that the political establishment and the corruption in Washington is massive and needs to be tackled head on. And all going well, meaning that if there's not some crazy thing with the Republicans trying to, say, put Paul Ryan in, if he does, Trump would just break away and start a third party. I think that would happen instantly, you know, if the Republicans right. pulled something like that. Either way, the Republican Party, as we know it, if it's either Trump or Cruz, or they try to get someone else in, it seems to be that the establishment's going to take a real blow. I agree with you about thinking long term. Absolutely true. We can all often think in too short term a way. But What about the idea that what's really going to set the trend is the Supreme Court justices? And I'm going to ask this, then on the other side of the break, you'll get to respond, okay? But what about, okay, if you had Senator Cruz in, we feel very confident about the Supreme Court justices that he would appoint based on his track record thus far and what he's done for pretty much his whole life. Whereas Donald Trump has really vacillated, saying one thing on Fox News and another thing to a lesbian reporter and then a little of both to George Stephanopoulos. So don't we, if we're thinking long term, don't we want to get a moral conservative in that would do these things? But listen, I appreciate the strategic thinking. That's why I asked you to come on the air. We'll be right back with Lou Cominelli. And then if you'd like to call and weigh in, 866-348-7884. We'll be taking calls as well.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My people are so smart. And you know what else they say about my people? The polls. They say, I have the most loyal people. Did you ever see that? Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible.
All right, so Donald Trump is obviously talking about the media saying how loyal his followers are, but they are. And what's troubled me along the way is that it seems whatever he says or does, it doesn't matter. He could get up, it seems, and say to everyone, I've been lying about everything the whole time. And they'd say, that's what we like about him. He always tells us the truth. That, of course, concerns me. And then I've taken public but gracious issue with Jerry Falwell Jr., Robert Jeffress, Christian leaders, and their endorsement of Donald Trump and question the rightness of it. My guest now, Lou Cominelli, his website, news2tomorrow.com, a current events site explaining news threads and biblical projections for the nation. He feels that we are not looking at things long term and that you could have 8 years of Donald Trump dismantling the corruption in Washington like a wrecking ball, to use Lance Wallnau's term, like a wrecking ball, and turning things upside down, and then a Ted Cruz coming in for 8 years after that, building and planting and establishing right things. So my concern with that scenario, sir, is what I said right before the break. What about the appointing of Supreme Court justices that's so critical for the future of our nation? We know Hillary would appoint bad ones. Donald Trump might appoint good ones, might not. We're not sure. We feel very sure Ted Cruz would. How do you factor that in?
Well, Trump recently has been emphatic about appointing conservative justices, and he did disown the thought that he would appoint his sister-in-law or whoever their relative is, that would be a conflict of interest. But to think that Cruz is going to do what's right with the judges, I have to point out that the establishment is already putting their tentacles into his campaign. The money that was going to Jeb Bush is now miraculously going into Ted Cruz's campaign, and that's to integrate him within the establishment, that's to pull the strings behind the scenes, that's to cause him to do things that he should not do because he's beholden to the people who are paying him money. And also, Neil Bush, if you're talking about establishment, Cruz has appointed Neil Bush as a financial consultant. He's on his campaign, so he's bringing in the establishment, and that's worrisome. Only somebody like Donald Trump can go in there and remove the establishment element and the mammon-grabbing political environment.
All right, so I understand the mammon-grabbing. Thus far, Ted Cruz has not been for sale. People have asked him to reach out to Mitch McConnell and apologize for calling him a liar. So far, there's no movement towards that. I'm just looking at headlines. Someone just posted this, Trump already talking with Mitch McConnell. Donald Trump has said, hey, I get along with all these other politicians. He's been the one that's donated to Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer and these others. He's the one saying, I'll make a deal. He's the one saying, hey, everything is going to be negotiable. Once I'm in there, I get along with everybody. He's the one saying Ted Cruz is the one who won't make a deal. He's the one that doesn't get along with the others. So if I was going to bet on an anti-establishment candidate just on that part, I would absolutely bet on Ted Cruz because he's done it, whereas Donald Trump is boasting about being a deal maker who all his life basically has sown a lot of money into liberal causes. So what makes you think that his conversion now is so real and so deep?
you know, Donald Trump, I believe, has an anointing in his voice, in the things that he says. When he says something, people listen. When he says something at a speech, the network stop everything to listen to what he's saying. And when he says that, I want to build a wall, suddenly we're thinking about, okay, that's what we need to do. And if there's any opposition, they get run down. But when he says, I want to make America great again, this is not just a hack campaign slogan. There is power in these words. And this man has so much stock in his own brand for years that if he goes to Washington, he is literally going to do just what he said. He is going to make America great again because his name, something that he's valued since infancy, is on the line. And he's not going to let people down.
All right. So, again, I if he's elected, I hope you're right, sir. Okay? I'm on record for that. I would much rather say I was wrong and others were right than say I told you so. So before God, if in fact he's elected, I would hope you're right about every single word. And God knows my heart in this. I want what's best for our nation, of course. But here's what concerns me deeply in what you're saying. His voice is very loud, and it's vulgar, and it's ugly, it's reckless, it's full of insult. When I look at Proverbs, when it talks about a king, or when it just talks about the power of the tongue, I see him as utterly destructive in that way. I see him as bringing massive reproach to America already, making us into a mockery before the world. He's lowered things. He's lowered the level of political discourse in a way that I've never seen in my entire lifetime. And I turned 61 today. I've seen the destructive power of his words, all the warnings in Proverbs about reckless words, the double-mindedness of the vacillating from day to day. That, yeah, he may be more conservative now than he was when he was younger, but he's so concerned with his names. I mean, Trump casinos with strip clubs and things like that. He's never, ever said, I'm ashamed of the past. I regret these things. So his name is not associated with morality or goodness. And in fact, is as Alexis de Tocqueville said, that America, a couple hundred years ago when he visited from France, that America can only be great if America is good. And I see him as going in the opposite direction. So we've got 2 minutes. The last word is yours.
Okay, I just agree with much of what you're saying, but when you want to hire a bulldozer to go into Washington and bulldoze, he's not going to be graceful. You don't want him to be graceful. You want him to bulldoze the garbage that needs to be removed in order to set up something more positive for America.
And last question, Lou, and I appreciate you being concise and clear and radio-friendly. Do you believe that America is specifically spoken of in the scriptures prophetically?
I believe so.
And does that color some of your eschatology right now, looking at Donald Trump, or is that a separate track?
I believe it's separate. I think I'm more inclined to believe that an awakening is coming to this land, and I believe you need to remove the garbage in Washington before that happens. I really believe that, you know, not a lot of people were thinking, destruction's coming to the United States, and it reached an apex last fall, but nothing happened. I really believe that God isn't finished with America, and I really believe that God is giving us a reprieve through Donald Trump so that we can have a harvest. Because that's most in God's heart. He doesn't want to destroy. He doesn't want to bring destruction to this land. He wants to save and bring a harvest in.
Yeah, and I affirm that. I believe that we can see the greatest awakening ever and that God's heart is for harvest and that he would much rather bring us to repentance than destroy us. And if you were looking for, only got 30 seconds, your best single reference for American biblical prophecy, what would it be?
Israel. The lost tribes.
Okay, all right. That's a whole other discussion. I think I'm glad that just came up last because that would get us on quite a different tangent. Hey, Lou, your words are on record. My words are on record. Let God be God. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. God bless.
All right, friends. I'm going to go to the phones. So keep listening online, AskDrBrown.org, or listening in your car. I'm going to take your calls. Get online now, 866-34-TRUTH, and have you called in to become a torchbearer today, one of our 61, my 61st birthday.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I noted in an article that I wrote last week, is Donald Trump a modern-day Cyrus? It was on Donald Trump anger and violence. I noted the strength of Ronald Reagan as a leader. And look, he called out the National Guard. When the air traffic controllers went on strike, he fired them all. I mean, he did some very strong leadership things that, yeah, if Donald Trump did it, he'd get called out for it. I'll say honestly, if Donald Trump did some of the things that Ronald Reagan did as governor and president, he would certainly get called out for being extreme in his use of force or his authority. Reagan was strong. But Ronald Reagan, in calling out Mikhail Gorbachev, didn't call him Lion Mikhail or Little Gorby or something like that. It was Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And the wall came tumbling down. Now, obviously, if we get into prophetic issues with Lou Comunale, you heard 12 tribes of lost tribes of Israel and America, obviously, we'd have radically different perspectives on those things. But we didn't go there. We went into his other perspective. I wanted you to hear from someone who has a very different perspective on Donald Trump than I do. In fairness to you, our listeners, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to go to the phones now for your perspective, starting with Jeff in Chelsea, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling the line of fire.
Thanks, Mike. As far as Trump is concerned, I believe it could be a reprieve from God to the country, but be warned. Study the 2000 to 2008 election of Raziel Odinga. He did not get in. He ordered his supporters in Kenya to hack people with machetes, beat them with sticks. I'm looking at a Wikipedia, 800 to 1,500 died. That's what's coming to this country. If Trump gets in, and I'm going to vote for him in the general election, especially if Cruz doesn't make it, I really believe that the powers to be, the Muslims, the blacks, the Hispanics, the radicals like La Raza, Farrakhan, Jackson, the Muslim jihadists will order their people to go out into the streets, bomb synagogues, bomb churches, hack people up like in some third world country. We're importing third world people into this country, and that's what we're going to get. We never.
Do you think that President Obama, in your view, would say, "I'm staying on and declare martial law"?
Well, I don't know about that. He could if it's before Trump gets in, but I'm saying after Trump gets in, and when Trump starts implementing some policies, which I actually think are good, he will try to get the illegals out. They will not want to leave. You will see communist Muslim revolution happen in this country because there's so much embedded rebellion. It's embedded. It's like my friend said to me. It's like trying to.
All right. So hang on, just to understand, Jeff. So do you think if Senator Cruz was elected and wanted to deport illegals, do you think he would have the same backlash that Donald Trump would?
Maybe not as bad, and that's why I like Cruz better. In fact, ironically, I went to the election. I went to vote for Cruz. I went to vote in my precinct. I wasn't able to, but when I went to vote, I kind of felt the Lord tell me to vote for Cruz. But the thing is, I think Cruz would be a little calmer with it. But I think you would still get a backlash because you see the rebellion in this country is so severe. 50 years of welfare, 50 years of social programs, 50 years of handouts, maybe less or more, you know, but pretty much that number. And when you have generations on the dole, when you yank it away, you are going to get insanity in this country. And I don't want this to happen because I live in Chelsea. I live in a ghetto.
Got it. All right. Well, listen, Jeff, you have made your viewpoint clear. This is what you fear coming. This is where you get to weigh in as my listeners. 866-348-7884. Thanks for calling.
It's the line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Dear citizens of the world, we are anonymous. Dear Donald Trump, we have been watching you for a long time, and what we see is deeply disturbing. Your inconsistent and hateful campaign has not only shocked the United States of America, you have shocked the entire planet with your appalling actions and ideas. You say what your current audience wants to hear, but in reality you don't stand for anything except for your personal greed and power.
All right, that is the anonymous group, hackers, powerful in terms of what they're able to do, infiltrate software of countries, governments, and try to shut them down. Now they're threatening Donald Trump. And by the way, this type of stuff is garbage to me. You know I'm a staunch Trump opposer, although my fervent hope if he gets the election would be that he'd be an amazing president for the glory of God and the good of the country. I don't like this type of junk, these attacks and the MoveOn.org type protests at his rallies and things like that. I don't like this type of infiltration. Even though I don't appreciate Donald Trump as a candidate, I absolutely oppose this type of approach against him. But this is what's going on. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to our friend Raj in Vienna, Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for making me feel so welcome. But let me say how we thank the Lord for you. Happy birthday, dear brother.
Thank you so much. I'm blessed. I appreciate it.
You've been such a chosen vessel. Many are called, few are chosen.
And thank you.
When I heard this person, Luke, talk about anointing, I did think that he needs a lot more corroboration from a lot more godly men who know the scriptures, who know the Lord, before he can go public with such a wild accusation or anointing with a person who has never even sought God's leading or even spoke about God's calling on his life in this matter. And so I think it's premature, and I think it's presumptuous. And, of course, I'm open to correction, and that's why I'm sharing this with you all. I believe you've done a very beautiful job, a very balanced approach, very scriptural approach in helping him walk through these things.
Yes, and thank you, sir.
He needs also, and I'll share this very briefly, there are many men and women and pastors across the length and breadth of this land, across the world, who are on their knees in fasting and prayer, asking the Lord's leading in these matters.
Yes, no, I imagine...
even now.
Yeah, I would imagine that my guest Lou has sought the Lord about these things, and of course I have, and our conclusions at this point are very different. By the way, I'm not claiming God told me that Ted Cruz was supposed to be the president, was going to win. I just felt that he was the one I wanted to back and endorse and get involved with. I'm not saying that God showed me that Donald Trump will not be the president.
That's right.
So we're praying for God's best, for God's plan. But in terms of the anointing, sir, Cyrus, this is always pointed out, was called God's anointed, Mashiach anointed, which was normally the title he gave for Israelite kings or the high priest or the prophets. Isaiah 61, a passage I read on my knees last night, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Yet Cyrus, a pagan king who did not know Yahweh, was anointed by God for a certain purpose. So you could say that about Donald Trump. In other words, even though he doesn't know the Lord, that the Lord's put his hand on him for a certain purpose to wreck the political establishment and uproot corruption or something like that. And others, as I asked, how do you do that if you work with the establishment and you're corrupt yourself in certain ways? But let God be God. And thank you, as always, for the kind words and the graciousness of your call. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Staten Island. Frank, hey, man, welcome to the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Michael? God bless you and happy birthday.
Thanks, sir. Hey, listen, just one heads up. Since almost every call we end up talking about Catholicism, we'll not make this a Catholic call, all right?
No.
I'm messing with you, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have several things to say, Michael. First of all, don't be fooled by this cruise. Okay? It came out on the Drudge Report in the Daily Caller by a reporter named Stone that Cruz was one of the top policy advisors, him and his wife, they weren't married at the time, his wife Heidi, for George W. Bush 41.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Sure.
Yeah, okay.
That's how they met. They met working for Bush. It's part of their story.
Exactly. And I think that he's part of the establishment. When he was asked if he was going to seal off the border, and he didn't want to put a wall. He was going to put a fence up. The fence is useless. This shows you how sincere he really is. Now, when...
Didn't he say he's going to build a wall, and he knew the man who would build it, Donald Trump?
He was going to use Trump to do it.
He said that in public debate. But go ahead.
Yeah. Ronald Reagan was one of the greatest conservatives in the last 50, 60 years this nation has seen, and yet he took Bush's father as his running mate, who turned out to be a moderate at best,
mm-hmm.
and is part of this whole corrupt establishment. And it was under Reagan that Reagan foisted that Simpson-Mazzoli bill on us over 30 years ago, which was going to do away with illegal immigration, even though he refused to put up a wall, and there was only 2 million illegals. They were going to stay here, but that was going to be the end of it. Well, we know what a lie that was, Mike. We're up to about 20 or 30 million illegals now because Reagan did not want to buck the establishment. I am very, very concerned about this cruise. I'm not saying he's not a believer. I really don't see any change coming with him because he's too close to the Bushes. And I don't look so much at the candidates themselves. I look at who endorses them. And when you see who's endorsing this candidate or that candidate, it tells a lot about the candidate himself. I'm upset with Trump because, God says he hates the perverted speech. I'm not at all convinced that he's a believer, but that's not for me to judge. But this whole system has got to go, Michael. It has got to stop. If we don't stop it, it's going to go on and on, and we're going to be up to 50, 60, 70 million illegals, and they're still going to try to keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Ann Coulter argument, that the only issue is illegal immigration, and if illegals keep coming in, Republicans and conservatives are not going to have any vote. By the way, Drudge Report, along with Breitbart, has really just been an extraordinary tool for Trump. I don't mean that Trump has bought out Drudge or anything like that, but extraordinary bias. I used to go there just regularly just for news headlines. A lot of times you knew what Rush Limbaugh was going to talk about because he'd grab a lot of headlines off Drudge in the midst of his show prep. But some of the things are, we got to check every article. Let's just say that the headlines are often very misleading. But Frank, thank you for sharing your concerns. And look, I got people upset early on when I said if Jeb Bush was the candidate, I couldn't vote for him because it's just another establishment candidate and we've got to bring down the establishment. People were upset with me for saying that, said, then you're going to let Hillary in. I said, look, without radical change, we're going to have more of the same either way. But Frank, thank you for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH, West Long Branch, New Jersey. Mike, you're on the line of fire.
Happy birthday, Michael Brown. I'm going to be about to be 61 in a few months. Thank you for your show.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. I am not in favor of Trump. And I would caution anyone to think, well, gee, we need a change. Well, you can have a very negative change also, okay? We have 5% unemployment. We have $1.50 gas prices. Bin Laden is dead. There's an awful lot of things that are good. There's a lot of things that no president can fix. If I'm an atheist, if I'm into pornography, if I'm into drug abuse, a president can't fix that. One thing that with Trump, it's like if he's going to call newspaper reporters disgusting, okay, but he cannot denounce the KKK, who I'm sure has denounced him because now he's a race mixer with his Jewish daughter and Jewish grandchildren. But Trump has no backbone, no core convictions. He is smoke and mirrors. And if you think that things are bad in the country now, if he ever gets in power, we go back to the days of Obama or the days of George W. Bush in a heartbeat.
Got it. All right. Thank you for weighing in, sir. Appreciate that. Again, you can agree or disagree, but here's where you get to weigh in. Thanks for the call, 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Nehemiah, Linda, you're next. So hang on. We'll get your calls right on the other side of the break. At the beginning of the broadcast, my friend Scott Volk called in completely his own idea, and he said, hey, Mike, you're turning 61 today. I want to do something on the radio. He called in, and he said, let's see if we can get 61 new torchbearers today. So out of our great listening audience, that's a drop in the bucket. 61 folks to join us with $1 a day or more, $30 or more per month, to become part of our support team, working together for moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We'll tell you how you can do that. Scott was number one on the list, so that meant we only needed 60 more. Don't know how many we've picked up since, but join us. It'll make a massive difference. This much we can do. Whoever's president, we can do what we can do.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so to stand with us to join our support team, to be one of the 61 new torchbearers today in accordance with my friend Scott's suggestion on my 61st birthday this March 16th. Yeah, join with us. That would be awesome. You know how much that would encourage me and our team? Just another kind of holy adrenaline shot of folks saying, we're standing with you. We're helping you be on the radio. We're helping you be our voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual evolution. We're helping amplify your voice, which is our voice. And we're making a difference, friends. So many nights, late at night, I'm reading through testimonies, think, man, I got to share this, I got to share that, and then I don't get to it during the show. But boy, our lives being touched, and it's wonderfully encouraging to see what the Lord is doing. So we invite you to partner with us. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just click on Donate, where it says Torchbearer, Monthly Support. Join us. We send you a thank you gift, a great revolution book to stir your heart and equip you. And then you get free access to our online classes, video, audio classes we have. We send you a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter that just goes to our torchbearers, and then a 15% discount in our bookstore. So we sow back into you in so, so many ways as you stand with us. You can also call 1-800-278-9978. Say, I want to be a torchbearer. I want to give $30 a month or $50 a month. Join the team, and together we're making a great, great difference in America, around the world, and among the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We go to Columbia, Maryland. Nehemiah, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. First, I'd like to say happy birthday to you and many more. God bless you and you.
Thank you, sir.
Wow, where to start? it's the government. When I think of government, I think of Romans 13, and that all authority is ordained of God our Father. And the powers that be, whatever they are, God is the one that puts them in place, whether they're good rulers or they're evil. And when I look at the state of the United States, I just turned 60 last month. I'm a year behind you.
All right.
And it grieves me in my spirit, because God doesn't judge a nation on what the unrighteous are doing. He judges a nation on what the righteous are doing, which in our case now, in this age, is the church. And it seems to me that we're confused as the church on what our role is. It's our job to promote God's righteousness in a land, starting with ourselves, then our families, and then the church. And then as our transformed lives shine out, people will see that, and they'll want to come to the Lord. And it seems to me that in many cases right now, we're looking to the government to be doing what the church is supposed to be doing, which to me seems to be a deception. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. In many ways, we tend to get all worked up in the political season, and the stakes are high. I agree with that. I'm involved, right? But we often give over to them what should be our job. In other words, fixing the economy, the government can do a certain amount. Caring for the poor, the government can do a certain amount. Changing the climate of a nation, the government can do a certain amount. But when you have tens of millions of born-again believers who still have almost all of our religious freedoms here in America, although they're getting whittled down, We still have the vast majority of them. There's nothing stopping us from making a difference. So if we just look at it like this, if 50 million American Christians got on fire for God in a month, America would look different. So
that's my point. That's what that's actually what I called in for. I'm reminded of 2 Chronicles. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. So the issue, you know, I hear people saying our government is corrupt. Well, the government is we the people in the United States. So if it's corrupt, we're looking at a reflection of ourselves. So if we would repent and have Jesus as Lord and do what he asked us to do, in the list of things that you just said, are we reaching out to the homeless? Are we reaching out to the orphans? Are we reaching out to assist with jobs? Are we reaching out to mentor and train the generations that are coming behind us? If we do that, then God says, okay, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins. I will heal your land. And since all the authority is his, that's the only way it can really be fixed.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. It starts with us. I said yesterday, I would rather have an awakened church with a godless president than a sleeping church and a godly president. The best, though, would be an awakened church and a godly president. Hey, thank you for weighing in. We go to Gastonia, North Carolina. Linda, we've only got a couple minutes, so dive right in.
Okay, I'll try and say it quickly. First of all, that this election to me, yesterday especially, I was very, very disappointed, says more to me about the state of our people. The two candidates running for office, for the office of the top position in our country, who have the worst opinion polls, the most negative opinion polls, are the two that are winning. That doesn't make any sense to me, that we're putting the two people that seem to be the most hated, most despised, and most divisive into that position. It doesn't make any sense to me. We've had 8 years of very divisive position in this country with our current president and his administration. And now we're going to put in another one who's going to be just as divisive, maybe even more. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And obviously, Hillary Clinton would be a very divisive figure. So it's and look, I was disappointed because I'm rooting for Senator Cruz. I'm praying for God's will and God's plan. I presume they know that. Mm-hmm. But I'm rooting for Senator Cruz. And in the natural, from everything we understand from exit polls and things like that, if Marco Rubio had not been in the race, if he had dropped out earlier and accepted the fact that he was going to get smashed in Florida, if he'd gotten out earlier, the exit polls have indicated the vast majority of Rubio supporters would go with Cruz, which meant Cruz would have easily won Missouri. He would have won North Carolina, and he would have been more competitive. He was close in Illinois. So today would look and feel totally different. But I have to believe that God is big enough that if he wanted to change that, that he would have orchestrated it. Okay, 1 minute left. Sure. Back to you.
Okay. Okay. The other thing I wanted to get in quickly is that, to me, okay, a lot of people say, they are captivated by Trump, what he has to say. If you really listen to what he says, if you even read the transcript of what he says, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say anything of substance. And number two, what has he ever done in his professional life that was for any purpose other than to profit himself personally and his corporation? Nothing. Ted Cruz has been the opposite. He has fought tirelessly, even sometimes pro bono, with no pay, as when he fought for the cross at the Mojave Desert Veterans Memorial to keep that cross from being taken down from where it had stood for 70-plus years. He has fought and won against the world court and against President Bush for our U.S. sovereignty when the world court wanted us to overturn 51 convicted murderers' cases. He fought them and won. He has fought for our First Amendment, our Second Amendment. He is a man of principle, and he wants to make this country whole. And he wants to take the federal government out of our lives and put it back in the states where it belongs.
Hey, Linda, passionate and clear. Obviously, I'm with you on that. We pray for God's very best. We pray for all the candidates. My bottom line today, best thing we can do, get on our knees, get on our faces, and plead for mercy on our nation. Well, I turned 61 today. I want to look at Isaiah 61 a whole lot more right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, today I turn 61 years old, and I opened up the scriptures last night, then got on my knees and read Isaiah 61. It's a short chapter. I read Isaiah chapter 61 and read it in Hebrew so that I was on my knees praying and reading it right as it went to midnight, and I officially became 61 years old. And Isaiah 61 is an amazing chapter. Now here, we're in the midst of the elections. Super Tuesday, a big day yesterday for Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Things could have gone very differently without the presence of Marco Rubio. Things could have gone very differently for Senator Cruz, but didn't happen like that. I trust God's sovereignty in terms of if he wanted things very different, he could have orchestrated them to be different. So it's very interesting to watch things unfold. I asked in the last hour, had a guest on who believes that God is raising up Donald Trump as a wrecking ball of sorts. That's the term used by Lance Wallnau, and that we need someone to come in and destroy the political establishment, and you need a wrecking ball to do it. And it doesn't matter that Donald Trump has not been a godly man, because you need a wrecking ball. And then after wrecking, destroying what's wrong, then someone else, like a Ted Cruz, could come in afterwards and build and plant. So I appreciated the long-term perspective from my guest. I had a very different perspective myself, but we interacted. You can listen to it later on The Line of Fire. So AskDrBrown.org. Just click on Latest Broadcast later today. You can hear that. You can weigh in. We got some very interesting calls the last half hour before this, and I'm going to take some more calls now. So what's your perspective? Do you think God could be raising up Donald Trump? Or could it be that Donald Trump is being raised up for destruction? Or could it be that Donald Trump is being raised up for something positive in the nation? Or is it destroying before building and planting? We'll talk about that. I'll take some calls, 866-348-7884. But I say all that to say this. Ultimately, we must stay in the Spirit. Ultimately, we as the people of God, more than anything, need deep intimacy with God, a vibrant relationship with Jesus, the fire of God burning in our bones, so to say, and then awakening in the church. It's not either or. In other words, we're involved in the elections. We're praying for candidates. I voted yesterday in North Carolina. Nancy and I voted. So we do all of that. But on a deeper level, we know that we must be pursuing God. And it's easy, especially with a Christian talk program. This is different than if you're taking sermons that pastor preaches on Sunday and airing them on the radio during the week, which is great and powerful. Some of the greatest ministries for decades have done that. But with live radio, with Christian talk, where we're constantly talking about what's happening in the news and giving a Christian perspective on it, it's very easy to get caught up in the flesh and to get emotional and to divide and get angry and things like that. And I may say things that get some of you angry. Some of you may feel offended by my position. I respect you for listening. I thank you for listening if you are offended. And you're welcome to call and tell me why. That's perfectly fine. That's why we have live radio by choice. That's why when I travel to different cities and different nations, I've got major engagements in Australia, God willing, in June after engagements in Italy. And we make plans whenever possible to broadcast live at all hours, odd hours of the day and night, because it's so important for us to broadcast live the vast, vast, vast majority of our shows, which means that you get to call and weigh in. But I'm saying all that to say Isaiah 61, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. That's what the prophet says, ultimately words taken by the Messiah himself in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth in Luke 4. We'll come back to that and your calls.
Fire we want, for fire we please. Send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. As I have the joy this week, Monday, of celebrating 40 years of marriage with my bride, Nancy, and today celebrating my 61st birthday. No place I'd rather be than with all of you listening and then hanging out with family tonight, and a great time with the students at our School of Ministry last night. Doesn't get any better for me than that. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I take some more of your calls and get your perspective on what God is doing in the elections and what we should make of it as the people of God, let me just read to you from Isaiah 61. These are passages of restoration, future promises to Israel, promises for Israel coming out of Babylonian exile and the glory that would come, but it didn't come then. And there's kind of an already and not yet principle that part of it happened, but the rest didn't. And Isaiah 61, the prophet speaking, but it's ultimately more than just a prophetic word. It's a messianic word. And that's why Jesus, the Messiah, takes it on himself. And he is the first fruits, and the rest of it will happen. So he says, and do you mind if I read the Hebrew? He says, Ruach Adonai Elohim alai, Ya'an Mashach Adonai oti levaser navim. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to declare good news to the meek, to the poor. Shlachani lachbosh lenishbrei lev. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Likro lishvi'im dror. To proclaim liberty to the captives. V'la'asurim pekach koach. Recovery of sight to the blind. So it's liberation to those who've been bound in the dark. And he goes on to say this, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn. But Jesus, Yeshua, stops when he reads it in Nazareth, and he ends with to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He doesn't say in the day of our God's vengeance. In other words, that was for later. That was for later. The message is still ahead in terms of judgment. Jesus came to liberate, to heal, to make whole, and the Spirit was on him. And then here are great promises that will still happen. As surely as the Messiah came, the rest will happen. That in the future and in conjunction with his second coming, that there will be righteousness restored to Israel and exaltation to Israel and the nations standing with Israel in Israel's restoration. And through that, the glory of God filling the earth and covering the earth as the waters cover the seas. Really quite an extraordinary passage, quite a wonderful passage. And what we need more than anything is the Holy Spirit in our lives. What we need more than anything is Jesus being glorified in our lives so that we can bring that message to the nation and to the nations. 866-34-TRUTH, number to call. Let's go to Denise in Houston, Texas. Thanks for holding over from the last hour. Denise, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call. I have called before, but it's been about 5 or 6 months, just so you know.
Oh, no, that's all right. We tend to remember if it's within a couple of weeks, we ask folks to give others a chance. But 5, 6 months, by all means, give us a call. Thank you.
And happy birthday.
Thank you.
I just want to be honest with you. My spirit has been troubled for the last probably couple of months when I've seen the direction not only of the country but of this election. And what has troubled me most is that people who say that they are Christians are supporting Donald Trump. It really hurt me deeply when I heard that Pastor Jeffress had endorsed him, because this is a man that I have respected, his preaching, his teaching on the word, and to see him then endorse one of the most vulgar people I've ever seen in political discourse is just horrifying to me. And it appears that people who say they are Christians have a way of right now justifying endorsing this man. I don't get it. I don't like it. And I think it taints our witness. The world is watching us. People who are unbelievers are watching us. And we're supposed to be that shining light on a hill. And what we're doing instead is tainting our witness by endorsing someone like him. And that's really all I wanted to say.
Yeah, listen, I very much see it the same way. That's why I wrote a respectful open letter to Pastor Jeffress and one to Jerry Falwell Jr. as well. The reasons that are given trouble me. The idea that we don't need a pastor in chief, I agree. But don't we need someone with moral integrity? Don't we need a strong moral conservative? Don't we need someone who walks and talks as a leader? Already, it seems, there's a lot of reproach coming to America. The discourse and the debates, the degenerating of the political discourse, the insulting of candidates. I pointed out in the last hour that Ronald Reagan was a very strong governor, and he was a very strong president, and he was not afraid to use force to uphold American law and things like that. I mentioned that when the air traffic controllers went on strike, he fired them. He said, this is a government position and obligation. You don't do this. He fired them. People thought it's going to backfire and you can't replace them and so on. And, well, he got them replaced and we went on. But he didn't demean others in a way that, to me, feeds into the worst attitudes in America that makes us worse as a nation. Let's just say that somehow he was elected and he somehow had the power. He somehow had the power to turn things around economically in America and to put a halt to the problem of illegal immigration. Let's just say that he did it. At what cost? In other words, just because you're strong nationally doesn't mean you're great. Can America be great without America being good? If you are vulgar, if you are insulting, if you are demeaning, if you constantly flip-flop so your words can't even be taken seriously, if you'll say crazy things like the guy that tried to run onto the stage the other day not to attack Donald Trump, but basically to say you're nothing but a bully and I'm going to take this mic here. It was outrageous. Shouldn't have been done. It's illegal. He should be prosecuted for it. But for Donald Trump to say, well, I believe he's got connections with ISIS, completely irresponsible. Somebody puts out this mock video of the guy dragging an American flag as a college student with real irreverence, in my view, towards our country and towards the American flag. But he's walking with it on a college campus, dragging it, and someone puts out a video with ISIS music in the background and Arabic captions to try to, it's just a stupid mock video. Anybody watching it knows it. Donald Trump says, hey, all I know is what's on the internet. I'm staying with that the guys with ISIS, he says provocative things that, I want to punch this guy in the face. You see someone throwing a tomato, which is hardly a lethal weapon. You know, you knock the CRAP out of the guy, etc., and I'll pay the legal fees. This is incendiary. This is dangerous. When you have a political leader who says these kinds of things, what happens if he is president? What happens if he makes statements like that to China or to Russia? What happens if there's unnecessary provocation? It's very distressing. So for Christian leaders to say, well, we need a businessman who's going to fix the economy and fix the security. What about someone that's going to be a leader? What about someone that's going to be a person of integrity? What about someone that is going to conduct themselves with honor? Here, Denise, I want to play a clip for you and get your take on it. Joey, grab clip number one. This is Pastor Darrell Scott of New Spirit Revival Center Ministries in Ohio. This was this past Saturday, March 12th. Go ahead.
He asked us simply to pray for him. He said, I would that you guys pray for me, that God gives me wisdom and God leads me in the right direction in my decision-making processes. And to be honest, I went away with a very different perspective and very, very different opinion of Mr. Donald Trump. Now, some of you might be surprised at this statement that I'm about to make, but I found Mr. Trump not only to be very gracious and very hospitable, but I also found Mr. Donald Trump to be a very humble man.
right, Denise, what's your response to that from a pastor?
Then he must be watching different video than I am, because I don't find Donald Trump to have ever been a humble person, ever. And that, you know, the Bible says there would come a time when people would rather believe a lie than the truth. And that certainly is what's happening now. People prefer to have a lie told to them and call it truth than actually have truth staring them in the face.
And, yeah, hey, got to jump in here. You got to jump in. Sorry, we've got a break. But look, I don't doubt that Donald Trump one-on-one is a very, very charming guy and would present himself very open, teachable, and a servant. I believe, though, to his core, he has major, major issues.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Yeah, that was the leadership of Winston Churchill. He could cut. He could be acerbic. He was famous for cutting down political opponents. Maybe the most famous joke was it with Lady Astor, who said, if I was married to you, I would give you poison to drink. And his reply, lady, if I was married to you, I would drink it. Oh, yeah, he was not one to back down or mince words. And he was not known as a Christian or godly man, but a man of deep moral integrity. And it was all about the nation and the survival of England that moved him and that caused him to stand up to world leaders and help make the way through the rubble of World War II and persevere for the good of England. I'm all for strong leaders. No, our leaders do not have to be born again, committed Christians, although ideally a God-fearing leader is best. But I'm looking for people of moral backbone. I'm looking for people of courage that will take a stand. And when they take a stand, will not be moved. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you think God is raising up Donald Trump, either to bless America or to curse America? Or do you say, hey, it's just our vote. Leave God out of it. What do you think? Just found out that some are having trouble calling our 800 number to sign up and become torchbearers and join with us or place orders. No idea what's happening, but there is a problem on the line. So whatever you want to do, standing with us, get online. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. let's see. All right. I do want to talk to you in a moment about the Supreme Court justice that President Obama has put forth, Merrick Garland, and whether he's a good guy that we should be going for, whether the Republicans should go ahead with a vote on him. We'll discuss that. We'll give you a little bit about that in a moment. What President Obama has to say about Merrick Garland, and what Ted Cruz has to say about Merrick Garland as he has issued a statement. But let me go right back to the phones. We start in West Virginia, Franklin, West Virginia. Aaron, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, it's very nice to be able to get through. I wanted to wish you a very happy birthday. Also wanted to let you know I certainly do appreciate one of the things that we've often lost, which is when you expound upon a subject with other, whether it be rivals, I've watched you in many tapes, whether it be rivals, or with other Christian brothers and sisters, your spirit is always right, and I so appreciate that. But concerning the contentions that's going on right now with the present GOP leader that so many are talking about, the issue that I find with him is I don't understand where we have lost, to piggyback on what a lady said before, it seems as though Christians have lost the ability to discern. And we don't understand what we're seeing is a decoy. And we see someone who is a salesman, a businessman, and wonder why they can con people in to these types of coercive attitudes. But the very fact that he can is because his actual job that he does for a living is being it uses those attributes. The thing that's interesting is that we don't discern these type of people in this time. We should have a spirit to see this. And right now, what's amazing to me is that people are tapping into anger. My father had a very funny saying. He said that you can take a man that's angry and gets into a fight, another man that's angry, but knows how to control his anger. Mm. He said the one that can control his anger in the fight will always win over the man that's just angry.
Mm-hmm.
We have people in this United States, rightfully so, that are very angry. They're very upset. But you mean to tell me that you cannot discern when a man gets on a debate on TV, debate after debate, and issues absolutely no substance? My 9-year-old son, who is homeschooled, could do a better job in debating the issues than what President or what those that are for him want him to be, Donald Trump. And it's unfortunate, but we're living in this time and season. But I do believe that the winds of God are blowing, and there's going to be change, whether we like it or not.
Mm. Yeah, you've articulated a lot of key concerns. Look, Aaron, if someone said, I don't believe a word Donald Trump says, I don't trust the man, I believe he's conning us, but somehow I believe God's raising him up to shake the nation. Well, what are you going to say? Let God be God, right? If you say that I think someone's got to just kind of be a bull in a china shop and tear things up in Washington, and that's what we need, and then we can have someone good come in after him, hey, let God be God. But it's when people get conned. You know, for example, when Donald Trump, after his last victories, before this past Super Tuesday yesterday, when he had some victories in the previous votes before that he gave his little infomercial about Trump steaks and about Trump water and stuff. It's like, well, hang on. He gave this whole pitch about Trump water and how it exists and so on. Well, Mitt Romney never said Trump water didn't exist. He never brought that up. The Trump steaks that were sold to the public, they don't exist anymore. From what we understand, these were Bush Brothers steaks in Florida that Trump just packages with his name on it for his hotels, casinos, whatever. So Trump steaks doesn't exist anymore. And then he mentions Trump wine. He says, look, you heard him talk about Trump vodka. Well, Trump wine. Well, nobody was talking about Trump wine. They're talking about Trump vodka. As I've used the analogy, it's like that used car salesman. When you come in and say, hey, I'm looking for a real nice used Cadillac, he said, perfect, I've got the Lincoln you're looking for. Oh, okay. I mean, that's just what he did. I played the clip on the radio. Yeah, Trump wine. Let me talk about Trump winery. And yeah, they mentioned Trump vodka, so here's Trump wine. So, I mean, you're talking about just a con job. And then even Trump University, you know, D-minus with Better Business Bureau. And then during debate, Better Business Bureau sent this in with an A rating. Well, Better Business Bureau did not send something in. It was a document that Trump's own people retrieved. And Trump University, when it went down, was D-minus. Then they started something with a different name on it, Trump Entrepreneurs Institute, something like that. That was up so short a period of time. That had the A rating. But then that went defunct also. So, again, it's just what do they call it, head shift or, you know, a sleight of hand, whatever. And people are just going for it. So that's what concerns me. And then James Jacob 1, the anger of man does not produce God's righteous will. So one of my friends, or actually my trainer, said that when he trained for Krav Maga, right at the end, they slap you in the face, they hit you, and you can't fight back until it's time because you have to learn how to channel the anger. This is unrighteous anger that's getting wrongly channeled. My same concerns.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want you to hear what President Obama has to say. He has now nominated a potential Supreme Court justice. I want you to hear what he has to say. I want to read a statement from Senator Ted Cruz, who immediately replied. This is major news. If this man were appointed, it would further tip the Supreme Court in a very wrong direction from everything that we can see. This is Michael Brown. We're listening to The Line of Fire. It is March 16th, 316, which also is my birthday, so it's 316-16. And I turned 61, so whatever that means, you got the 1-6, the 1-6, turn around the 6-1, and here we are, blessed and thriving and not slowing down. Boy, no, speeding up joyfully. Here's what our president had to say, clip number 8.
And today, after completing this exhaustive process, I've made my decision. I've selected a nominee who is widely recognized not only as one of America's sharpest legal minds, but someone who brings to his work a spirit of decency, modesty, integrity, even-handedness, and excellence. These qualities and his long commitment to public service have earned him the respect and admiration of leaders from both sides of the aisle. He will ultimately bring that same character to bear on the Supreme Court, an institution in which he is uniquely prepared to serve immediately. Today, I am nominating Chief Judge Merrick Brian Garland to join the Supreme Court.
All right. Let's grab one more clip. Clip number 9, as CNN is reporting on Merrick Garland. I don't mean to paint him as some evil, diabolical man, but just a justice who may be brilliant and find justice in many ways, but with some views that would be absolutely diametrically opposed to the views I would want for Supreme Court justice. Here's CNN reporting on him, clip number 9.
His chances for confirmation appear to be slim right now because Republicans say they won't even consider hearings. They won't even meet with the nominee. But Democrats believe because he is such a qualified individual, the pressure will intensify and that they will eventually buckle in this election year. But this fight is only just beginning. Now that Merrick Garland, we have heard, will get the nomination to the Supreme Court.
Yes. So here's what Ted Cruz said. Merrick Garland is exactly the type of Supreme Court nominee you get when you make deals in Washington, D.C. A so-called moderate Democrat nominee is precisely the kind of deal that Donald Trump has told us he would make, someone who would rule along with other liberals on the bench like Justices Ginsburg and Sotomayor. Make no mistake, if Garland were confirmed, he would side predictably with President Obama on critical issues such as undermining the Second Amendment, legalizing partial birth abortion, and propping up overreaching bureaucratic agencies like the EPA and the IRS. We cannot afford to lose the Supreme Court for generations to come by nominating or confirming someone that a dealmaker like Donald Trump would support. Washington dealmakers cannot be trusted with such crucial lifetime appointments. I proudly stand with my Republican colleagues in our shared belief, our advice and consent that we should not vote on any nominee until the next president is sworn into office. The people will decide. I commend Mitch McConnell and Chuck Grassley for holding the line and ensuring that we, the people, get to exercise our authority to decide the direction of the Supreme Court and the Bill of Rights. I absolutely stand against someone like this. Look, anyone that President Obama would nominate that he'd be comfortable with because of our deep ideological differences. Just take the issue of life, of abortion. The baby in the womb, shedding of innocent blood. We are polar opposites on that, as I am with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. So therefore, whoever he would appoint, or Hillary or Bernie would appoint, almost guaranteed would share an ideology that I militantly oppose, just on that issue alone, let alone others. All right, we'll be back with your calls, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. So last night, about 11:35, I got on my knees and talking to Nancy for a while, and then went up to another room, got on my knees, took out my Bible, began reading Isaiah 61, just reading it slowly in Hebrew meditatively, because at midnight, starting March 16th, I was turning 61 years old. So read through it, meditated on it, looked at it in some different translations, and I read it in Hebrew, and then was on my knees turning 61. So it's kind of a fun day. It's March 16th, so that's 1/6, 2016, so that doesn't happen much, right? I could never have 16, 16, 16, because they're not 16 months in the year. It's just about as close as I get. So, yeah, this is it, the one time, 16, 16. And obviously turning 16, that would have been one. But now 61 years old, so we got that 16 turned around. And I'll tell you, everything in me, of course, my life is in God's hands, but I'm getting ready to speed up, not slow down. And by God's grace, helping me make a radical change in my lifestyle, beginning August 24th of 2014, so eating always healthy, only healthy, all the time. Then adding into that vigorous workouts, I'm thriving. In fact, I posted a video of not my actual workout, but I went through it, this 1,400 rep workout that I knocked out this morning, kind of as a benchmark that my trainer gave me to do. I knocked it out as a benchmark to see, compare it in the future years. So I put that on YouTube. You can actually check it out, and if you're in good shape, give it a shot, and I bet I beat you. At 61, you may be 20, but I bet I beat you. It's going to be close, and that's thanks to God's grace and healthy eating. So thrilled to be able to celebrate this day with you. And I got a wonderful gift from Israel. It was a little video from Lahav, which means flame in Hebrew, and it's a nice Hebrew name. And two of our grads, kind of like son and daughter to me, two of our grads in Israel, with a bunch of kids. And Lahav's birthday is also March 16th. So she quotes John 3:16 in Hebrew on the video. So that was one of the sweetest things I got today. All right, to the phones with my longtime close friend, Scott Volk, who is always 10 years behind me in age, turned 51 earlier this year. But we've been good friends since 1993. And served together closely. Scott traveled the world together with me, and now he's on the front lines with his own Israel ministry. Hey, Scott, thanks for calling in today.
Oh, bro, a very special happy birthday to you. I think of 3:16, and it is actually one day before my wife's birthday, but I remember your birthday every year, and it blows me away because I think we celebrated about 24 or 25 of them together. That's crazy, eh?
Yeah, well, the good thing is when it gets to be like even higher numbers, we have no idea. No. We just, you know, it's like, it's like a 300 birthdays or something. But right now, mine's a sharp, and yeah, hopefully stay that way.
That's awesome. Well, one of the biggest blessings of my life is to have been connected with you all these years, and I look forward to many more years ahead. But the reason I'm calling in is I had a brainstorm this morning as I was driving in my car, and I thought, wouldn't it be great to offer a challenge to Line of Fire listeners to help you celebrate your birthday. And I just want to put this out. You may be listening live right now. You may be listening online right now. You may be listening to a podcast 4 months from now. I think it would be as relevant whenever you're listening to it as it is right now. But for your 61st birthday, Dr. Brown, I'd like to put out a challenge to 60 other people, because I want to be the 61st. 61 people to be able to stand with you in a really special way by becoming a monthly partner, a torchbearer, that would be willing to give a dollar a day to help keep you on the radio. If I know anything about you, I know that the last thing that you do is continually ask for money or beg for money. Your trust has been, for as long as I've known you, your trust has been in the Lord to provide, and you're not a good fundraiser. I hate to say that, but I would love somebody that just stands in the gap today and says, hey, let's get 61 people to become torchbearers this week in honor of your 61st birthday. I want to become the first. And if you tell me how to do it, bro, I am there with you.
Hey, man, thank you. And when you shot me a note right before radio and said you wanted to do that and called in earlier for our first hour listeners, that is so sweet and kind of you. And, yeah, I'm not going to be the one. I remember decades ago, a long time ago, I mean decades and decades, I was listening to a favorite preacher of mine on the radio, and he turned 40, and he wanted everyone to send him $40 for his 40th birthday. And, you know, it didn't seem that hokey. But since then, I've seen a whole lot of hokey things, and, you know, this is the year of this and that, and, you know, if you're Isaiah 58:7 is, and if you give $587, your mortgage will be canceled in 3 months. It's like, man, I despise that junk, or turning the feasts of Israel or Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane into a fundraiser. Man, that's right. That's bad stuff. But when you said, hey, how about getting 61 new monthly supporters on your 61st birthday, I thought, yeah, that would be an awesome birthday gift to our ministry. So here's what we do for our monthly supporters. So it's $1 a day or more per month, so $30 or more per month. Some of you could do that 10 times over in your sleep. Others, it's a real step of faith to do it. But either way, if you feel prompted, I believe God will meet you and help you, because the money is going to spark moral, cultural, spiritual revolution in America. It's going to help us light a fire in the nations. It's going to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Scott, maybe as well as anyone in the world, you know firsthand the amazing fruit we've seen by God's grace. So here's what you do, folks, to become a torchbearer. So again, $30 or more per month. We sew back into you. Immediately I send you a book on Jesus' revolution that will ignite your heart and be life-changing and equip you. That's my thank you for joining us. And then every month you get a new audio message from me that I've preached. You get access to our online classes, some of which are $50, $75 classes, access as many times as you want to go through them, some video classes we have and some audio classes we have, and then 15% discount our online bookstore. And then we also send out an insider prayer letter that just goes to our torchbearers with special testimonies and with key updates and things that are happening. So to join us, just go to the website right now, go online, ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You'll see right on the homepage, you can become a torchbearer. Otherwise, just click on donate, and you'll see two options, one-time gift or torchbearer. Now, if it's in your heart, you've been blessed and want to help us with a one-time gift, that would be amazing as well. But torchbearer is there, the nucleus, the backbone of our ministry. That's how we're able to be on the air every day, because these great stations have expenses. They have staff to run them, their expenses to get the word out, and then our staff to get out the quality things that we do to reach the maximum number of people. So stand with us. And I don't know how many have responded to Scott's invitation earlier on, but that would be absolutely awesome. So, man, thanks for the solidarity and support. When someone this close says, hey, I'm going to be a monthly supporter, that's meaningful, and I appreciate it, man.
Love you, bro. Happy birthday.
Hey. All right, thanks so much. And by the way, Scott has been very generous towards our ministry over the years, and now is having us a monthly supporter. That's amazing. So would you stand with me? Would you stand with me today? All right, just go to AskDrBrown.org. There's a problem with our 800 line today. So just go to AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org. Sign up today, and you'll be hearing from me just in a matter of days with a thank you letter and your code where you can get online and start watching some of these classes on Jewish roots and revival and holiness and audio classes on prayer and intercession and things like that. And it's all there, resources for you. And we have more resources that we're going to be making available only to our monthly supporters in the days to come as our thank you gift to equip you. All right, back to the phones in Raleigh, North Carolina. Sharon, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I appreciate it so much. In praying and searching God's Word all for quite a while now, but and then yesterday, just down to the nitty-gritty, as you know, our primaries were here yesterday, and my heart was heavy, as so many believers, I believe, are now, for our nation, for each other, and the Lord just really led me, just truly by His own doing, as I prayed and sought Him as to, Lord, don't let me vote in any way that would be offensive to you, but in the way that you know, because you know the hearts of men. I can only do what I have searched out, you know, online, and to find out about these people, about these men, and what they have stood for and their history, record, and so. So what the Lord has led me to, and to help my judgment, and I went totally with a clear conscience of how to vote I wasn't even sure that would happen, Dr. Brown. I really didn't. I thought, Lord, I can't even know for sure. I don't believe at this moment. But he cleared it up for me, and I went in with total peace. And he had me laid on my heart and praying for people and for all voters the entire time I was in line. And one of the scriptures he shared was Deuteronomy 1:13, choose wise, understanding, experienced men, and I will appoint them heads. He also said in Exodus verses 18, 17 through 21, but this is more to the end of that, was moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties. I just feel like his word, I don't feel like it. I know he showed me, there were 31 different verses.
And let me just jump in. The idea of God-fearing, responsible leaders, it's big. It's big. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
על הקמת מדינה יהודית בארץ ישראל, היא מדינת ישראל.
Words. The words of David Ben-Gurion, Israel's first prime minister, with the national anthem, Hatikva, playing in the background as Israel declared its independence in 1948. Moving words, stirring words. Listen, there have been powerful leaders who have not been Christian in any sense of the word. There have been powerful leaders who have privately been immoral. There have been powerful leaders who had qualities that were not admirable. I still contend, though, that the best leader for America is a person of great integrity and a strong moral conservative and ultimately a God-fearing person. I'm not looking for them to be orthodox in all doctrine. If they're born again, wonderful. If they're not, they could still be a tremendous president. I'm looking for someone of strong moral integrity. Now listen, I was saddened to see the results yesterday. I live in North Carolina. I spoke at two rallies for Senator Cruz last week, first political rallies I've really spoken at in my life. I spoke at two rallies for Senator Cruz, one on Monday, one Sunday in North Carolina. Great rallies, great attendance, great responses, great messages from the others there. And I was disappointed that we did not win North Carolina for Senator Cruz. And Missouri, extraordinarily close. Last I saw this morning, they might have to do a recount, but otherwise it was Donald Trump's state by the tiniest number of votes. And if Marco Rubio had dropped out earlier, instead of saying he was, and I feel bad for him, I really got to like him over the campaign, but if he had believed the polls and not said we're going to shock everybody, all right, so if he had said, okay, I'm getting out now before losing in Florida, then from everything we know about what his supporters have said, a good percentage would have gone to Ted Cruz, so he would have won Missouri easily. He would have won North Carolina by a little, and he would have been even closer in Illinois. So you say, oh, if this, if only, how? But it didn't happen. I have enough faith in God and enough faith in God's sovereignty that if God wanted that to unfold differently, it would have unfolded differently. Okay? That's first thing. The second thing, yeah, thanks for the update, Joey. So right now, Trump up in Missouri by 1,700 votes, but it'll at least be Friday afternoon before the official announcement is made. Maybe they're doing a recount, monitoring thing, or auditing things. Now, look, we still don't know who's going to be the Republican nominee. We don't know who's going to be the Democratic nominee, and we certainly don't know who's going to be president. You might say the best guess is either Trump or Hillary. Yeah, certainly, from the natural perspective. But we have no idea what could unfold. if there is a contested convention, let alone a brokered convention with Republicans, or something wild and unexpected happens with the email scandal with Hillary Clinton. In other words, if it was somebody else, the way it would have unfolded by now, it would have taken them down. But I have enough faith in God that if it is God's will for Ted Cruz to be the president, then that's going to happen. This cycle, I mean. And if it's God's will for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump to be the president, it's going to happen. Now, it doesn't mean it's his best choice. In other words, it could be he would rather bless, but because of sin, he brings judgment. I believe that God appointed Barack Obama to be our president. Yeah, it was a matter of us voting and not voting in adequate numbers, whatever, or the weaker candidates, John McCain, Mitt Romney. I despise many of the things he stood for as president and things he's done. I believe he's hurt our country in many, many ways. Yet I do believe that ultimately maybe we got what we deserved. Maybe it was judgment. But that in a case like this, when we're praying and praying for God's will to be done, that, yeah, yesterday could have looked and felt totally different. And that it's certainly not over at this point. But yesterday could have looked and felt totally different if Marco Rubio had dropped out just a few days earlier. But he didn't. And here we are. So let us see what God does. Let us be on our knees. And let us be searching our own hearts and saying, Lord, start your work of revival, renewal, reformation in me. Absentee votes being factored in. Thanks, Joey. I hadn't considered that. All right. One last call. No. I was going to go back to Charlotte, but I won't. John Stott said the chief occupational hazard of leadership is pride. At the same time, Max Lucado said a man who wants to lead the orchestra must turn his back on the crowd. So there has to be this ability to say, I'm going to focus on the script in front of me. I'm going to focus for the conductor. I'm going to look at the music that's scripted out in front of me. And I'm going to focus on that and focus on the orchestra. And that way the crowd will get the best performance. If you focus on the crowd, you may do what people want you to do, but it's not necessarily going to be what they need. God does not give us what we want, but what's best for us. God does not give us what we think we need, but what we really need. And I had a guest on early in the show. He's got some very, very different prophetic perspectives than I do, but we didn't get into those. And I'm glad we didn't, because it allowed us to focus on a discussion about could God be raising up Donald Trump to be kind of a wrecking ball, to bring destruction on the political establishment in Washington. And then in the aftermath of the wrecking ball, a man like Ted Cruz comes in and has more of a burden for righteousness and integrity and uprightness and things like that. So we had a discussion about that and shared our differences on that, but I think it was a very fair discussion that in that regard. And his issue was, hey, we're not looking at things long term. Listen, we are posting things long term. I have been sounding warnings since August of last year in writing about irresponsible rhetoric from Donald Trump and what it could lead to. Now you're seeing why I warn these things. We've got a YouTube video that's getting a lot of attention. Justice Scalia's prophetic warnings. Justice Scalia's prophetic warnings. It's been viewed over 50,000 times in the weeks that we put it up, and that's, I think, just getting started. Check that out. You'll find it to be a real eye-opener. We posted an amazing testimony yesterday from Andy and Amanda, the two sisters, Andy leading her sister Amanda back to the Lord. Amanda broke up her quote marriage with her lesbian partner, has left everything behind. She said, I've lost everything and I'm so glad. Together they're ministering in music, following the Lord. We've got some great video commentary, some teaching on issues like the hardening of Pharaoh's heart and God's sovereignty, all for free on our YouTube channel. So check it out. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on latest video, become a subscriber. You will be blessed. My bottom line today, here's what we can do. Humble ourselves in the sight of God. He'll give us grace.